This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. This is usually the spot where we would do the C block with Corey Majors. Corey Majors is not here right now, so I'm going to attempt to replicate the C block. Are you guys ready?
Nope.
Okay.
Because Mike has, I think, a mouthful of cronut right now.
I thought you just said you were done with the cronut.
Oh, I had a hot dog that Broadus made.
Philly cheese style,
like,
right?
A Philly cheese style hot dog for 4th of July, even though it's the 3rd of July, which was very great. But we do have possible breaking news here on our show. Corey might be having twins.
That was not what that test meant, Mike.
There was a blue and a pink line.
That was for something else.
Talcum powder?
I don't think they're having another baby. Even though Corey played along with the bit and said it's twins.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He showed us a test and it was positive. It looked like the stick.
It did look like the stick. It was a different...
You pee on the stick for COVID?
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like you could. You just wouldn't get results that'd be any useful for you.
I thought COVID was over.
That's a good point. Apparently some people are still testing it.
Yeah, people that still getting it.
Just so he could miss Friday too.
I know. It's an interesting point.
Looks like I'll be doing the card show on my own.
All right. I'm going to have to haul ass back from Jacksonville to make it. Okay. Do you have a healthy fear or respect of the sea cow, AKA the manatee?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Tell me.
That was really passionate.
In spring training, I was in Clearwater, Florida. And so this is 05 with the Phillies. And there were manatees where we were living, like in the water. There were boats and stuff. Don't worry. I was not making enough money to like have a boat there or anything. Sure. I just was walking the pier and everything.
You don't strike me as a boat guy either.
Not crazy about it.
What's a boat guy look like?
RJ looks Clay like Thompson. A boat guy.
Yeah, Clay Thompson definitely a boat guy.
But there were manatees in kind of the docking bay area, and they're like, oh, they're so nice, this and that. I was like, I feel like if I jump in the water, it's just a big pit bull that's just going to destroy me.
Okay.
But nobody jumped in the water there, but I thought they're so big that I was just like, they look scary.
And when you know that, doesn't it make it hilarious that the theory is that manatees are where the idea of mermaids came from? Like the idea that...
Oh, I could see that with their like pseudo tail in the back.
Yeah, that like, you know, sailors were just out at sea and so, you know, wanting for the pleasures of land, I guess is the way that I'll say it. That they were just like, that over there? Yeah, that looks like something.
Yeah, she's hot. So the See-Through Canoe Company put out a video of this dude that just fell asleep in the water, and he woke up. There was a manatee like within 2 feet of him. He wakes up, freaks out.
They're big.
And swims away, and the manatee just swims the other direction and was yes. like,
yeah, what's up, dude?
Like, yeah.
Supposedly, they're not dangerous to people at all.
The manatee looked frightened the way he like sprung into action and had to swim the other way. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys had a healthy respect for the manatee.
That's a good C block. What's next?
Okay, next
up. Why are y'all mad at me pointing out that that's how that happened. I didn't make up the mermaid situation.
Can you name anybody
yes.
who is that's actually true. In the hot dog eating contest this
year? Oh, absolutely not. I could point him out.
Joey something.
He's
Chestnut.
Not, remember, he's not in it this year because he signed with the Impossible People and they're like, you're out.
I don't
but
know.
But he will be in Texas. It's,
one of them is like a big black dude who looked like Elevator from the AM1 street tour.
Mark Jackson's brother?
I know who you're talking about.
Escalade.
Am I wrong?
No. Wait, Escalade.
I don't know if that guy's in it this year, but I definitely know.
Escalade was Mark Jackson's brother who is very heavy on
this. Is that really Mark Jackson's brother?
Yes, 100. He's dead, but yeah, it was.
Oh, rest in peace.
I thought you would want to know that the favorite this year is the boringly named James Webb. Followed by Jeffrey Esper.
I haven't watched this in a long time.
That's a dangerous name.
I don't,
he did not kill himself.
All didn't right, that get like okay. rained out last year?
Oh, yeah, that's right. And they had to like do it a little bit later in the day. But
oh, yeah, the lightning delay.
Which seems better for the hot dog thing. Just leave the hot dogs out in the rain and say go to town.
That's a good point. I want to turn your attention, though. It's a little bit of a long shot. Would this be the fanciest named person to ever win the hot dog eating contest?
Sir.
The 11-1 odds of... Bartley Weaver IV.
It's not a real name.
I'm telling you, it's just ahead of Gideon OG.
Oh, yeah, Gideon OG. And I rock with him because he's Nigerian.
It's
yeah.
not OG Ananobi.
I was thinking if he didn't get hurt for the Knicks, I would have a better chance.
I figured that was the direction we were going. But
I'm also disappointed in Gideon OG because he don't really be putting the dogs down like the mother folks.
So Bartley Weaver IV, the fanciest.
Do you watch it?
Oh, hell yeah. And I watch it live. So here's what's going to happen. We go.
As opposed to the people that tape delay it? What's happening?
Or do you, I mean, they replay it like 60 million times.
That is fair.
So I will depart from the lake people to go inside. So
you hate the lake.
So I'm not a fan. Did you know, by the way, when we were just dating, that's what my wife said. That's how she knew that I loved her is because I got into the lake. In the middle of the day, I was not a fan.
Yeah, because I mean, you were definitely hot because I know you don't wear shorts.
I was wearing a bathing suit. I did not care for it, but there'll be all.
Did you have to buy one?
Yes, I did.
Was it like a scuba suit? Because no, you didn't want to show
your knees.
Did you
already garage sell it?
No,
only worn once is what you put on it.
It was just a regular. It was just a regular bathing suit. But now I have to get in the water again because Noah. Is going to want to get in the water, so stupid family. But
it'll feel like when he was in the womb.
I understand.
There's floating in there. It's amazing.
I just don't recall what that was like. I don't know if he remembers what it was like, but I will always walk away from the dock and the boat stuff to go inside and watch the hot dog eating contest.
Okay, I can't remember the last time I watched it because it kind of grosses me out.
I could see
it. Should.
Yeah, I'm not. I could definitely.
I don't
see
mind
that.
Watching people eat crazy amounts of food. I will watch that sometimes on YouTube. But the hot dog thing starts grossing me out.
I could see that.
Which is why I kind of like. Have you heard of Miki Sudo?
Oh, yeah. She wins. She is the woman. I don't know if this is okay to say the equivalent of Joey Chestnut yeah. in terms of she whips everybody's ass every year in the women's competition.
Yeah. And one of the things that I like about her is that she is actually kind of a little bit of a clean freak herself. So she manages to eat these hot dogs very quickly while also staying pretty neat. And so it's kind of an interesting dichotomy when you see all the mother folks losing their mind with like water and hot dog particles all over their face.
Yeah, it's I'm not saying it's the most hygienic or nicest looking thing. All right. You ready for some sports?
We were just talking about sports. Hot dog eating is
that
a
is
sport.
True. I've heard that often.
That is a fair point. CBS Sports put out their list of the top 25 teams of the NFL's modern era, and that includes two Super Bowl losing teams.
When does the modern era start?
The modern era starts with the merger. So,
whoa,
yeah,
1960 something.
Yeah, 69.
I thought you were honestly going to say like 2000.
No. There are way older teams than that. I believe it's 69 or 70.
Okay,
the New England Patriots that were undefeated. Mm-hmm. They're one of the teams on the list that didn't win the Super Bowl. The other one is the 1990 Buffalo Bills, and that's all fine and well. But I was going down this list. 24th is the 1991 Washington team. That team, whenever you look at these lists, is usually like a top five team. And so I feel like that might take away from some of the credibility of the rest of this list. But I still wanted to tell you, number 18, the 1971 Dallas Cowboys, 14-3, first ever Cowboys team to win the Super Bowl.
I've been watching old school Cowboys. That was probably the final score of a lot of their games. It was
14-3.
It was a very slow game in the 70s.
Yeah. Do you find yourself enjoying the watchbacks, knowing the legendary players and that we're going to win? Or does it hurt that you're like,
mind watching if they lose one of these games. I will say there weren't very many times the Cowboys lost in the heyday. But it's interesting watching the evolution of football, because if you'd say, oh, Dak Prescott was better than Roger Staubach, in a way, I agree with you. In a way, if you watch today's game,
start the promo,
and you watch Roger Staubach's game, you would say, oh, well, Dak would... Roger only could train in the 50s and 60s when he was of that age.
Yeah.
There weren't all the things available to him. Also, the offensive schemes were very different. Have your wide receiver line up in a three-point stance and see what happens and how fast he, you know, gets into it. There, guess what? Drew Pearson, probably out of all the 88s that are important, he's probably better than Antonio Bryant. But sure. Like, he was probably, I hate saying this, but he was probably the worst. And not that he was
a Hall of Famer. How much human beings have evolved too.
And you look at the offensive linemen. Honest to God, Ezekiel Elliott would have been the biggest offensive lineman on the 1971 Dallas Cowboys.
You're not taking a shot at him.
No, I'm just saying this. The game has evolved so much when you watch it, but it is interesting to go back and watch and how much they did rely on not just the halfback, but the fullback. The fullback might have been the second most important offensive player to the halfback on the team.
Now, I don't know if there's any truth to this text from the 214. I just saw Corey at the Cronut shop. He gave me a fist pump.
That sounds right.
I don't know. Yeah. All right. The top five modern NFL teams. Do you care to take a shot at this? Maybe you guys can even work together and figure this out.
I'm going to... You already said the undefeated team was not top five, but they're on the list.
I did not say that.
Okay, I'm going to say that they're a top five team.
Number one on the list, the 1972 Miami Dolphins.
I was actually
Dolphins.
Saying the Patriots.
Oh, crap.
But that's okay. I think this is...
I got a free one.
The Patriots that lost are still in the top 10, I believe.
Okay. I get it. You're going by record. But I don't know.
You've talked to a lot of people, they don't think that's the best team.
Wouldn't they have been better in the previous year or the following year? I get what they did. It's perfection. It's never been done and probably will never be done again, especially because we're about to go to 20 games here soon.
You know how many teams they beat with a winning record that year before the playoffs?
Six.
Oh, no.
One.
Oh. Are you serious?
Yep.
Well,
frauds.
Just something to keep in mind there. All right.
The fraud fins.
Yes. I know. And obviously they're amazing. I don't think they were the best when you look at some of their resumes, but they didn't lose. So
just
there
a whole,
you go.
Whole right, bunch a team of that, plumbers and firemen.
A team that did very little after winning the Super Bowl. Are the Bears on there for
the 1985 Chicago Bears are number three on the list. They allowed a total of 10 points in three playoff games.
So I'm going to be bad at this because I'm not going to get the year, but you're just going to have to give what year. I'm assuming one of the 70 Steelers teams is a top five team.
The 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers, they were the ones who defeated the Dallas Cowboys in what felt like
after we beat the Rams.
Yes, in what felt like the match to determine the team of the decade. And so 1978 Steelers, they went 17-2. That team has 10 Hall of Fame players on it. They are number two. So you guys have got one, two, and three.
Mike, I keep thinking about the, was it 2000 Ravens? But their offense was so bad. Yeah. That defense was just literally all-time defense.
We haven't named a New England team. Is there a New England team with Tom Brady that you feel like was their best team? Because I feel like it was the 07 team that didn't win, but you said they're outside of the top five.
Because they had the single greatest wide receiver of all time, Randy Moss, right?
We don't have time for that right now. but yes, they even losing the Super Bowl, they were number eight. If they won the Super Bowl, I could see them moving to the front line.
What year... 88 was the year Joe Montana beat Cincinnati, but what was the year they destroyed Denver?
So that was the next year. That was 1989. I understand why you would guess that. However, there are a lot of people who think the 1984 San Francisco 49ers. That's the team that smoked Dan Marino.
That's right. To Reggie's point, that was before Jerry Rice. They were a better team before Jerry.
Good point. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That team went 18-1.
Okay.
So including the playoffs, they went 18-1. That was Dan Marino's only Super Bowl appearance, and he got destroyed.
Are they on the list?
Number four on the list.
I'm just going to, number five, which team, Reggie, do you think, if we take out 07, which championship team for the Patriots?
Not a Patriots team.
Oh, okay. Wow.
All righty.
So Tom Brady, not the greatest of all time. Oh, that makes sense, actually. He has an
agenda.
That's
not my list.
I don't know. It sounds like it.
It's a good list. Mm. Think.
The first team that won the Super Bowl, the Packers.
The 1992 Dallas Cowboys.
I watched them play a little bit this morning. Finished up the Detroit Lions game, I believe, week 10. It was 27-3. At that point, we destroyed Rodney Pete. By the way, if you do go back and watch one thing in 1992, which is very different, man, you can smoke the quarterback after they throw the ball. Like, there are no rules. At one point, Ken Norton Jr. just gave a love tap, but he knew what he was doing. Rodney Pete was going out of bounds, and he gave him the love tap and threw him into like a WWE table.
Yeah.
And all the Lions were upset, and the referee's like, he touched him when the foot was in bounds. I don't care what he did. And then Tony Tolbert destroyed Rodney Pete, and then they had to bring in Eric Kramer, and it didn't get better for Detroit with Eric Kramer.
It's so wild watching older football with modern football sensibilities.
Oh, my gosh,
like,
yes.
Just a wide receiver going over the middle, you have to remind yourself, oh, that person's an insane person. Yes. Got you. Okay. Right.
Get his body crushed.
At 1.2, Jerry Ball in this game, Stepnoski's snapping the ball. Before he snaps it, Jerry Ball's helmet is touching Mark Stepnoski's helmet. They're helmet to helmet. They're reviewing it to show like how Jerry Ball gets right over the center and how he uses his weight and everything. I'm like, that has to be offsides. He's literally touching the center. Like, no, you could, as the nose tackle in 1992, you could line up right over the center and have your helmet touching the helmet of the center because you weren't past the ball, you were still on sides.
The 1992 Cowboys, fifth on the list. They went 16-3, including the playoffs, had the triplets, the Great Wall of Dallas, and they beat their playoff opponents 116-47. So yeah,
and they beat Detroit that way too.
Yeah, they did. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, would it be better for the Mavs if Luka never averaged 30 points per game in a season again? We'll discuss why that might be next right here on The Fan.
Doncic with a three. Sticks it. Uh-oh. Wow.
7-0 personal run here by Luka.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. A couple of pieces of business, both kind of revolving around the Dallas Card Show. From the 469, since y'all are not working on Friday, are we about to do Masterpiece of the Week? We are working on Friday. We will be at the Dallas Card Show. And then from the 972, I'm trying to move an Anthony Richardson downtown at the show, so I can't freaking wait. You're going to have a Trevor Lawrence downtown.
Kaboom.
Kaboom. Sorry.
His rookie.
At the show. So all kinds of great stuff happening there. Here I want to talk about the Mavericks, though. You brought up an interesting proposition, which I had not considered before. Mike, I'm going to throw it out there and make sure I get it right and what you think about this. Would it be better for the Mavs if Luka never averaged 30 points per game in a season again?
Yeah, I think 30's the number for me.
Okay. Tell me why.
Because I think there needs to be, for the Dallas Mavericks, I've agreed with this statement at all times when Charles Barkley has said it, or my buddy Ryan Dries or whoever, that Luka has the ball too much. They're too Luka reliant. And I've always said, I agree, but they have to have a better team around him to be less Luka reliant. And when you look at Luka's numbers last year, 23 attempts per game. I don't think we need Luka taking in the regular season 23 attempts a game. I just think that Kyrie Irving, PJ Washington, Derek Lively getting better. I think that, you know, we talked about early Hardy, possibly Antonio Daniels let us know that Marshall averaged 15 points a game as a starter. I'm not saying he'll average 15 on the Mavs, but there are enough pieces now on the Dallas Mavericks, especially with also alley-oop threat Daniel Gafford, that I don't need him taking 23 attempts. I don't need him trying to put all of this load on him to score 33 to 35 points a game on average.
Because A, you are overusing him, because we've talked about like usability ratings and what likelihood that means for your chances in the playoffs. And then B, the other part of it is you're just probably fundamentally not taking advantage of all the other players that you have on the team that can actually contribute.
Yes. And then if you get to a point, and look, the Mavericks were great. They won three series last year and made it to the NBA Finals. I'm so proud of that. I've bought a whole bunch of discounted stuff at Dick's Sporting Goods lately. Guess what? If you want your NBA Finals gear, it's all 50%+ off now. So I understand it's over. You didn't win it, but
I saw some people one day selling Mavericks final shirts, you know, kind of like on a street corner after they had fallen behind 3-0. And I was like, oh, I bet business is not great.
Yeah. That. And so I look at this Maverick team and I go, I think they're good enough now that he doesn't have to average this many points and this many shots. Yes, I get 33-30 is not a big drop. But I really think that with Klay Thompson and these guys, that he doesn't have to be so heavy on the usage rate. And I get the NBA has changed over time. True. So it's tough to compare Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson or Larry Bird or whoever, their usage rate to today's True. Game. It's a very different game. But I look at it and I was surprised to see that, honestly, Michael Jordan's field goal attempts did not really go down under the triangle offense. I thought I was going to see an example of Michael Jordan's shot attempts went down when Phil Jackson took over and convinced him the triangle offense. Then you'd have to go to usage rate and see if it dropped a little bit in usage rate. Or for Luka too, the other thing that I need to see from him, the improvement, is he does seem to be at times tired in the fourth quarter. He gives so much in that first quarter to get 15 points a game. And I'm like,
and we talked about scaling that back to 10 minutes even.
Yeah. Is that best for your team? I understand getting off to a good start is good. Being up by 5 points at the end of one is nice. It's good. I like it. I don't dislike being up after one.
Sure.
And Luka cooking and going, oh my gosh, is this another 60 point night or a 50 point night for him? But he always slows down tremendously because of, I feel like at times the energy he uses in the first quarter. So I would just like to see him be more dominant in the fourth quarter if he can be, and maybe that's by not being used so much in the first three quarters. And maybe that was Jordan. Maybe Jordan backed off a little bit on like, all right, fine, I'll agree with you for the first three quarters and maybe the first 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, but the final 5 to 8 minutes of this game, it's Michael Jordan time.
Okay, all of that being said, this is kind of like a Corey Seager-esque question for you.
Yes, sir.
I agree with all of that in terms of that makes sense to me. What do you think is the likelihood of it transpiring like that?
50-50.
Okay.
Maybe
what
less.
What tips it one way or another?
Because I think Luka trusts Kyrie. I think Luka is going to trust Klay to start the year. Klay's going to have to, in a weird way, Klay has earned the trust, but he can lose the trust. If Klay, like some people think, is totally done and cannot play in this league anymore, I think Luka at times, I don't know, I'm going to ask this as a question, but it also is also my statement too. He gets too frustrated with his teammates too quickly and then gives up on them.
Yes.
And so I look at that and go, if you have better teammates, then he won't give up on them as the game progresses or earlier in the game and believe that I have to do more than what is maybe I'm capable of.
Did you see, is that what you saw? Here's the key question for that. Is that what you saw with Kyrie? Because there were times that Kyrie struggled that I do feel like he said, all right, man, you're good. Like, I know what you can do in this league and I'm going to stick with you because, because my concern is no matter how good the teammate is, they're not you. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
And so I don't want him to fall into that category, but I don't really think he did that as much with Kyrie as with name any number of other teammates.
I'm with you. That there was a complete and total trust with Kyrie, even if he went 5 of 19 from the field in whatever game. He's like, the next game I know he's going to make 10 of 19.
Yes. And that's kind of what you hope for Klay, right? Just because he's done so much in this league, or maybe he's starting to get that trust in Lively and Gafford. I have no idea how far it could extend that he gets that trust that he's like, hey, he just walks up to him instead of yelling at them. He's like, this is your game. You got it.
The other team, Luka takes a lot of physical contact. Sometimes it's fake and he just falls down. But
what?
Jason Kidd has said this too. Every time you fall down, that takes a little bit more out of you. Yeah. Getting back up takes a little bit more out of you. It's just a small percentage, but if he's not being used as much and not having to create all the offense, it feels like him thinking, I have to create all the offense all the time. And let's be honest, with Dorian Finney-Smith, you have to.
Yeah.
He cannot dribble or pass. With, at times, Derrick Jones Jr. I like Derrick Jones Jr. I wish he was back on the team. He's not. He can't dribble and pass that much either. He can dribble enough to get the ball up the court, so I feel like with a lot of players Luka's played with, you cannot ask Luka to handle the ball less. They literally cannot dribble and pass at an NBA level. But now I look at the team, you're going to be starting with Derek Lively. Very good passer, I think, for his age and size.
Agreed.
Klay Thompson, very good with the basketball, making good decisions for his career. Kyrie, obviously a great one at making decisions. And PJ Washington starting will be your least, but he's not horrible at it. He's not going to hit a lot of back cutters or make great passes, but he can pump fake, dribble, put the ball on the floor, and not make a horrible decision. So you have that. And then you have a few guys coming off the bench that I think you can trust too. And I understand he's still going to, I want him to take 20 shots a game.
Yeah.
I don't want him to take 15. I want him to take 20, 21 shots a game, and I want him to average 30 points a game. But I think this forcing it to a number where I want to win the scoring title, and here's what I don't know about Luka's ego. How much does Luka want to win the scoring title?
Okay, fine. He just won the scoring title. How do you think he compares that with the pain of losing in the finals?
I'm paying more.
Okay, then that should be your answer. I'm not saying it is, but that should be your answer. It's like, hey, you got a scoring title. Great.
Yeah. I think he does have a very high level of competition in him. And I think if he sees at game 55 that he has a chance to win the scoring title, I do think, look, we're all humans. We'd all love to have the most home runs or the biggest batting average or the most points scored in an NBA season or whatever, or the most triple doubles. So I do think there is a ego and competitive nature to Luka in those things. But I want Luka to have less on his plate, but even be a better player. And I think that's possible, but to your point of with the percentage, maybe 50% is too high. Maybe it should be more like 33 to 40%, but I do think it's not 5 to 10%. I do think he can grow. I think people think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander can grow and get a little bit better. And
I do he's, too. Yeah.
I think 7 or 8 months older than Luka.
Yeah.
So I think that there's still some more growth in Luka. I'm hoping he comes out of this stinking situation at least healthy enough to start the year.
And when you say stinking situation, was it the injuries combined with the fact that they are still trying to qualify for the Olympics?
Yes. And you can tell the thing is he's the boy who cried wolf. You never know if he's really hurt or not. That's the tough thing about Luka, is because he's such a faker. He could be really hurt really bad right now.
Yeah.
Or he could be just faking it. And you don't know. You just don't know with people like Luka when how bad they're hurt, to what extent they're hurt because of how much he exaggerates injuries. But I do think he's somewhat hurt. And I look at him and I go, I think you can be less hurt during a season if you're not trying to do so much and not trying to. I get you got to sell your fouls, but selling them to the point where you just throw your hip into the ground as hard as you can, that's probably not the smartest thing to do.
And then I one more quick NBA question for you. Were you surprised at all to see the number? I know there have been a lot of talk about LeBron taking a pay cut if they could get certain players here or there. Clearly, they failed in those avenues. So he signs a two-year, $104 million deal. The second year is a player option. So essentially, a one-plus deal. And he might just reevaluate his career every year from here on in.
Do you know if he would have taken a $20 million pay cut to go down to $30 million? Do you know how much money the Lakers would have had to get rid of their team without bringing back any salary to have the possibility of bringing people on the team?
I heard it was complicated, but no, I don't. I'm assuming you do?
Yes. So if LeBron, if he was telling the truth, which I think he was lying the whole time.
Oh.
If he was like, I will take $20 million less, I will get down to like $30 million. They had to dump $25 million off of their team without taking back any assets to get to the point of signing a guy past like where they were at, the apron they were at. Like just to get to the mid-level exception, just to get to signing Valanciunas, for example, he had to take a $30 million salary instead of $50. And they had to get rid of approximately $25 million of payroll on their team, knowing that that was never going to happen. So it was a very great PR thing. Lakers, I love you so much, I'll take less money. Knowing that the possibility of all of those things lining up were about at 5 to 10%.
Yeah.
That he was never going to have to take less money for it. So good for him. He deserves all the money in the world. He's one of the greatest players of all time. I tell my son this. I'm tired of the Michael Jordan LeBron debate. Michael was the best in his prime, and it's not even close. And LeBron's career, his longevity and how great he is, he's the greatest of all time, and it's not even close. Nobody can come close to age 19 to age 40 of LeBron, and nobody can come close to Jordan's 6 to 7 premium years of basketball in the league.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I definitely know what Crosstalk's going to be about right now. But thank you to D&M Leasing for providing us this time to chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing now that I've tried a cronut, Hagee.
All right.
770. Thank you, 770.
So neither of the nosebleeders had ever had a cronut.
And I'm ashamed to say that because... now with three kids, I find myself in a donut shop, I mean, bordering on once a week.
The interesting thing about donut shops is not all donuts have the cronut, and perhaps it's because Mike's like, because why would you ever buy a donut again?
Yeah, they're screwed. So as soon as they start making cronuts, they're just going to have leftover donuts.
So, I mean, but it's an easy pivot. You just go outside, you take the D down off the sign, you put CR.
Yeah.
And then inside, you just swap the, you click a different button when you're ordering your breads.
Sure.
Right.
The
process, I would imagine, is the same, but it tastes phenomenal. I mean, I am so thankful to 770. Is that
yes.
who just did that?
Yes.
And to Mike Bassick. That's wonderful. And it's not to bring down the donut at all.
Yeah, the donut's fine.
It's just the level of greatness and softness and just like meltiness.
Over. We thought the donut was great.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know what? People that played in Converse Weapons in the 80s, like Dr. J and Magic and Larry Bird.
Better
those
players.
Those were great shoes.
Better players.
Now you put on a weapon and you're like, I think I'm going to die in these. And because they're like, we've discovered better shoes.
You're not a better player.
Yes.
We continue to grow and get better every day.
They're absolutely delightful. Now Bob we just Cousy, need to add like doing. Chocolate and other stuff onto these
Can
things.
You imagine playing in Chuck Taylor's?
Yeah.
How did everybody not break their ankle?
Taylor.
Yeah. Wait, so
Bob
Cousy didn't need to trick it up. Bob He's like, Cousy. Let's go play.
Bob Cousy would dribble around you all day.
With one hand.
Yes, one hand. He'd use the other hand to kind
I'd
of fidget.
I'd pick Bob Cousy clean. Come
yeah,
on.
You would not. Bob Cousy would wear you out.
Man,
I'd be in Bob Cousy's pockets.
Don't underestimate.
I'll
right.
tell you what. To see that competition.
That man's still alive. Yeah. That man's still alive and talking about championships.
Bob Cousy, let's go.
Bob Cousy. So many arguments over carrying as Reggie dribbled twice. Yeah. He'd be like, you cannot do that.
Yeah. The second you stop any motion on that ball, oh, that's a traveler double dribble.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to pick y'all's brain about
Bob
one
Cousy
thing in
Bill Russell.
Oh my God.
You guys wouldn't stop that at all.
No.
Reggie'd be keep turning around. Who's got Russell?
Yeah,
nobody's saying no,
that. I got Bob. Don't help. Yeah. I don't need. Don't double Bob. I got him.
John,
stay
Havlicek
on your
off
man.
The bench. Yeah, you guys, no chance.
The Cleveland Browns, unfortunately, lost their mascot, Swagger Jr.
Yes, I saw that.
At the age of 5.
Yeah.
I thought it was Lucky was their mascot. Didn't they have like an elf or something like that?
Oh, that like might be the mascot on the field.
They got a
like
dog, right?
This is the dog pound.
Oh, the dog pound.
Yeah. So PETA, who hates all things fun and believes all animals are exactly the same as all humans, thinks that
foul play.
This should be the end of live animal mascots.
Oh, good luck with that.
For sporting teams and sporting events. How do you guys feel about the live animal mascot? There you go.
It's one of the cooler things. Like watching FSU or whatever on a
Chief Osceola.
Yeah, that's
Chief
Florida State Osceola, Seminoles. They ride out on the horse.
Yeah, and USC
does it as well.
We got a live tiger.
And we would never have the Oklahoma Sooner blunder from a few years ago when they all tipped over.
Yes, there's
the schooner.
Yes.
The schooner.
And how about Bevo and Ugga going at it at the Sugar Bowl? Like, that's a moment we'll always remember. And you had Tony the Tiger, or it's Mike the Tiger.
Mike the Tiger, and he lives better than a lot of humans.
They treat these animals phenomenally well.
He's got a Twitter account that has so many followers.
My man has got a big old place to live. He's got really nice, cool water. I one time got to feed Mike the Tiger.
It's the same thing with Rebelly. Animal lives a better life than you can imagine.
Dog, we went to Hawaii on a road trip in 1990 at Texas A&M. Dog was in first class. I was in the back of the bus.
There you go. And PETA's got an issue with that, apparently.
I was a staff member. Rebelly was flying first class seat. I was in the back of the bus.
That is freaking amazing.
Yeah. What type of, excuse me, the cronut.
You're all right. It's a cronut, man. It'll be fine.
When it comes to, when it comes to feeding the tiger, what did you feed it?
Well, it was a combination of steak, hamburger meat, kind of a combination. The veterinarian who's in charge of it was like, I was walking out of the football office and I walked over there and I kind of saw what was going on. This is real late at night. And he goes, hey, you want to help feed? I'm like, sure. So he puts vitamins and stuff like he pokes it down into the meat. So all the vitamins that Mike needs, supplements that he needs,
blood pressure medication,
some cinnamon.
So there's two cages. There's an outer cage and an inner cage. And so you feed you get in between the two cages. And what the vet would say is like, okay, Mike, go. And he would circle back and go and get up on the rocks. And my guy, Doc, would open the cage, slide the food in, close the cage. Then Mike would come down. He knew if he was going to eat,
he was trained.
He had to go and get up on the rocks.
What a badass.
Yeah. So it was, and I literally was 550-pound Bengal tiger. I was literally like a foot away from that thing eating. Well, it was just kind of chomping down on its food.
Did you guys ever paint it yellow and purple for the games?
What, the tiger?
Yeah, the tiger.
It's actually a Bengal tiger.
Yeah.
It's already got that color. Doesn't need
purple,
painted.
Purple and yellow.
It was born yellow? Purple and gold. Oh no, he's got some purple tint to him. If you look at him in the sunlight,
I would put in his food a lot of sedatives and make sure he's really asleep, and then paint him for the game.
No man, no.
I can see why PETA would be against you, Mike. Other people,
PETA followed me because for 10 days I did that vegan diet thing. It was really tough.
Oh god!
And then they unfollowed you as soon as you stopped the vegan diet.
Oh yeah, we had some ice cream downstairs. I couldn't say.
Oh boy, I
got to like some of the in the SEC. They got really good mascots. I never got to be a part with the War Eagle, the actual.
That's also badass.
I never saw that.
Ralphie in Colorado.
Yeah, I tell you, how about what was our guy's name? Jim Knox.
Yeah, Jim Knox.
You ever see that video? Jim Knox getting blown up running with Ralphie.
Oh no, I'm gonna look it up now.
The security
Jim
guards
Knox
come
is
over
coat
and
tie running with. He's like, come on, I'm going. Here we go. He's running. One of the handlers thinks Jim Knox has jumped down on the field. He circles back, blindside block, knocks Knoxie out.
Yeah.
What stadium?
This is in Colorado.
The
Buffalo. He's running with the Buffalo. Knoxie's like, he's like, yeah, here we go, here we go, here we go. And all of a sudden, man, that guy circled back and depleted him.
Oh, no. Yeah,
and he got him to go, oh, it's okay. And he's like, oh, no, Knoxie, you look concussed.
PETA's got nothing to say about that. You know, they don't care about this guy getting banged up.
And he didn't die like in the midst of the season or anything, but oh, man. The Buffalo's circling back around Jim Knox.
He got grilled.
Jim Knox is running. Yeah.
He was hauling ass, too. Like, he was keeping pace.
Yeah.
He was. Knox, he was running well in a coat and tie. I mean, I guess he was just his tie.
Then, boom! He runs into that one guy.
He gets crushed. He's just wearing a tie.
Yeah, it's a great truck stand.
It's like you doing. It's like you doing
ear hole.
It's like you doing like when they're in between innings when you guys talk about nothing up there. You know, yeah. Oh, hey, well, having a good day here in Washington. Yeah, what'd you do last night, Mike? That kind of when they do the long camera shot and you got your sleeves rolled up. That's the look he was throwing down.
Yeah. Man, Peter would have been super upset at our conversation about the Denver Nuggets mascot from about a decade ago. And
guy passed
video.
Out. Lowered it from the rafters. Yeah, that passed guy was out. Limp. You see that one?
No, but it was a guy in a suit, so they don't care.
What's the difference?
This is Rocky, okay? This is Rocky. This is the number one mascot. This dude's really talented.
Didn't that guy get paid like $600,000 or something?
Yeah, six figures
this
for sure.
This guy can't handle it. He passed
this
out.
This dude went limp on the way down.
Now they've got a new guy in the Rocky suit now.
I hope.
Well, they have to. The other one,
he's dead.
I don't even know if he's alive.
Oh, the other guy died?
I don't know if he's still with us.
Condolences to him and his family.
The video just ends.
I think you're making that up.
I don't know. I didn't follow up on if he's still with us or not.
It's a real cliffhanger.
What do you guys got coming up on the program
more Rocky
today?
Talk. More of that. I mean, we'll talk a lot of the mascots.
More Cronut love, dude.
More Cronut love.
My mind's
more Cronuts.
Yeah,
there they are.
It's Cronut.
We're full.
But we do have Pure Gold as always. Thanks so much for asking. Hey, we'll do a college football superset coming up at 4:00. How will these teams fare in their new conferences? We'll go around the rim at 3:20, and of course, she back of the day at 2:30.
Then perhaps at 2:40, Brian will express his skepticism about how good the show really will be.
Well, Brian already said, guys, I'm mailing it in.
Like, okay, all great.
Apparently,
what time are you guys talking UTA football?
I don't think we're going to talk UTA today. We'll save that for Friday.
Undefeated since 85, and don't forget it.
Yeah, don't you forget that. I think Jim Jensen was a player.
Watch out,
Whack.
Yeah. UTA's back.
Derek Jensen.
They're really not, but they have a football stadium still.
But the Rangers are back.
Damn right.
Go get Rangers.
Go Rangers.
Roll home.
You can't win two in a row unless you win one.
Damn right.
In a row.
With the G-Bag, I guess. G-Bag Nation.
Way to go,
Vince. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Remember, make your way back with us on Friday from the Dallas Card Show in Allen, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 through the Fan.
Say happy 4th of July, Kevin.
Happy 4th of July, everybody.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.